My dearly beloved, today is the second of three Sundays with the long names. Last Sunday, Septuagesima, today Sexagesima, and next Sunday, Quinquagesima. And these words respectively mean 70, 60, and 50. They remind us or focus our attention on Lent and eventually on our commemoration of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of our Lord at Holy Week. Today is Sexagesima Sunday, is actually 8 weeks until Easter, 56 days. So Holy Mother Church, you might say, rounds up the number to 60. But what is the purpose of this very brief season of what we sometimes call pre-Lent? These 2.5 weeks spanning three Sundays. It's interesting to note that sadly, this season has been eliminated in the modern Catholic Church, the conciliar church. They no longer have these three Sundays. It's considered unnecessary. Well, of course, we know that Holy Mother Church has a very good reason for having this season. And so that, again, brings up the question, why? What's the spirit of this season? What is the purpose of this liturgical season? And the purpose is simply to begin to focus our attention on the season of Lent so that we don't all of a sudden have Lent come up and we weren't ready for it. To help us prepare for the season of Lent. To serve as a transition from the joyful season of Christmas and Epiphany and then the sorrowful season of Lent. Again, to serve as a transition and help us mentally and spiritually prepare for the all-important season of Lent. Now, one of the things, one of the areas or ways by which we can understand the purpose of a particular season, or you might say the theme of that season, is by reading the proper of the Mass, especially the introit, the beginning of the Mass. So I would like to read to you the words, at least the first words of the introit, for each of these three Sundays. Last Sunday, Septuagesima, the introit is taken from Psalm 17. The sorrows of death surrounded me. The sorrow of hell encompassed me. And in my affliction I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice from his holy temple. Today's introit is taken from Psalm 43. Arise, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise and cast us not off to the end. Why turnest thou thy face away and forgettest our trouble? And then next Sunday, the words of the introit from Psalm 30. Be thou unto me a God, a protector and a place of refuge to save me. For thou art my strength and my refuge, and for thy name's sake, thou wilt lead me and nourish me. So what do we see in these three passages in the liturgy? We see, you might say, human nature crying out to God for help. We understand what a sad state is fallen human nature, how weak we are, how inclined to sin. And so we cry out to God for his help. This is the spirit of Holy Mother Church, you might say, of this season, is to have an awareness, a deep awareness of the misery of fallen human nature. We know that because of the sin of Adam and Eve, original sin, we all were born into this world with that stain of original sin on our soul. And even though it is not a personal sin, we ourselves did not actually commit it. It's not an actual sin. Nevertheless, we have inherited that sin. As the fathers would say, we all sinned in Adam. Not again personally, but as children of Adam, we have inherited that sin. And we are all aware by our own experience of how much human nature was wounded by original sin. How original sin, you might say, damaged God's wonderful handiwork of his creation and left us with a fallen human nature. There are a number of effects of original sin, but chief among them is concupiscence. And these are the words of the Council of Trent regarding concupiscence. This holy council perceives and confesses that in the one baptized there remains concupiscence, or an inclination to sin, which, since it is left for us to wrestle with, cannot injure those who do not acquiesce, but resist manfully by the grace of Jesus Christ. Indeed, he who shall have striven lawfully shall be crowned. So we're baptized, original sin is taken away, but concupiscence remains. The other effects of original sin, of sickness and eventual death and ignorance, these effects remain and serve as a great trial for us. Today's epistle, St. Paul talks about how he was taken up into the third heaven, and then he says, but there was given me a sting of the flesh, an angel of Satan to buffet me. So God permitted him to be tried, to be tested. And we can look upon our fallen human nature as an opportunity to fight the good fight, to win the heavenly crown, to prove our love for God, to gain merit. Because God's grace will always be there if we do our part. So again, getting back to the theme, what is the theme of these three Sundays leading up to Lent? It is that our human nature is so weak, and that we are utterly dependent upon God's grace. Without God's help, we fall flat on our face, we're lost without his help. We have to have a deep conviction of our need for God's grace and how weak we are. And we've all experienced it. How many times have you made resolutions and then almost the next minute, the next hour, the next day at least, you fell, you broke your resolution, and you were right back where you started. So you see, we become convinced of our weakness, our frailty. Now, we want to be careful to have a Catholic understanding of original sin. Martin Luther had a distorted view. He considered human nature to be completely depraved. And he said, you cannot live God's commandments. Just resign yourself to the fact you can't keep the commandments. And of course, that's heretical. By the grace of God, we can fulfill his will, obey his laws, and keep the commandments. So we don't want to have an excessively negative view or incorrect view of original sin and the effects of original sin and the weakness of human nature. But at the same time, let us have a true understanding of how weak we are, and that is why we do penance during Lent. We do penance to atone for sin. We do penance to earn grace. But we also need to do penance to discipline our fallen human nature, to take control. We have this battle between the spirit and the flesh, and the spirit will predominate if the flesh is subdued. If we're always giving in to every desire, we never mortify ourselves, then we are too weak and unable to resist when it is a question of temptation to sin. Now, the Imitation of Christ has, I think, a wonderful meditation on the miseries of life, how much we are buffeted with our fallen human nature, how we are, like St. Paul says in the epistle, constantly pricked by this thorn of the flesh, by these temptations, because of fallen human nature. This is what the author of the Imitation says. Behold, O Lord, my abjection and frailty, every way known to thee. Have pity on me, and draw me out of the mire, that I stick not fast therein, that I may not be utterly cast down forever. This it is which often drives me back and confounds me in thy sight, to find that I am so subject to fall and have so little strength to resist my passions. And although I do not altogether consent, yet their assaults are troublesome and grievous to me. And it is exceedingly irksome to live thus, always in a conflict. Hence, My infirmity is made known to me, because wicked thoughts do always much more easily rush in upon me than depart. Oh, that thou, the most mighty God of Israel, the zealous lover of faithful souls, wouldst behold the labor and sorrow of thy servant, and stand by me in all my undertakings. Strengthen me with heavenly fortitude, lest the old man, the miserable flesh, not fully subject to the Spirit, prevail and get the upper hand, against which we must fight as long as we breathe in this most wretched life. We must fight against that fallen human nature every day of our lives. And the author goes on, alas, what kind of life is this, where afflictions and miseries are never wanting, where all things are full of snares and enemies? For when one tribulation or temptation is gone, another comes. And while the first still lasts, many others come on, and these unexpected. How can a life be loved that has such great bitterness, that is subject to so many calamities and miseries? How can it be called life, since it begets so many deaths and plagues? And yet it is loved, and many seek their delight in it. Amazing words, reminding us of the sad state of fallen human nature. But this should not lead us to despair. Again, it should cause us to fall to our knees and humbly say to God, help me. I need your help. And that's what we see in these passages from the Psalms that I read, the intro of the Mass, an appeal crying out to God for his help. We must pray and we must do penance. At this time of year, we also see the spirit of Holy Mother Church, of the liturgy, in the lessons that the priests pray in the Divine Office. This past week, we're reading the very beginning of the book of Genesis. This past week was on the creation of Adam and Eve and their fall from grace, original sin. This week, we have the readings on the great flood and Noah. And in both cases, again, we see fallen human nature. At the time of Noah, God was so offended by the sins that were committed, it said all flesh had corrupted its way. And therefore the great flood came. And so these thoughts should humble us. They should help us to realize our weakness and our utter dependence upon God and his grace. So use this time well. It is an important season, the season of Septuagesima or of pre-Lent. 2.5 weeks to help us prepare for Lent so that when Lent comes, we're ready to make a good Lent. We've thought about it. We've reflected upon the need for penance. We sat down and jotted down what I will do to make a good Lent. I urge you to do that. You have about 10 days left before Lent begins. Think about what you will do and remember the need for penance, because penance helps our spiritual life to thrive and to grow. Unless you do penance, our Lord says, you shall perish. Let us all resolve to spend the season of Lent well, because God will not be negligent. His grace will be there if we do our part by penance and prayer and a proper understanding of our dependence on God, humbly asking for his help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.